B-Pod Studios.
Waivers to do much of anything. Like, you know, when we signed a waiver one time when I first started here and we went and threw axes while drinking alcohol and we had to sign a waiver, was kind of a little leery. And then I turned out to be really bad at throwing the axes, which still pisses me off.
Oh, you were horrible.
Yeah. Lighten up, Snowflake.
But, like, you know, that's kind of weird.
You were really bad at throwing axes.
Okay.
Bob, move your back foot.
In the back.
I should have been there to help you coach.
You should have. You didn't offer me any advice.
No, I'm not that guy.
I've never seen Bob.
Because I'm not that guy.
I don't want to label you. I will say this. Can you acknowledge the fact, and I would have done the same thing if I were you, you got extremely defensive when I said that you tried to help Jamie with his swing. I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, well, no, I'm not that guy. Because everybody knows that guy, and that guy's a douchebag. But I'm saying, if it was reversed, I would have been just as defensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
nobody likes that guy.
Nobody does. And for all you guys out there who are that guy, stop it.
Yeah, nobody likes you.
I don't need to hear you say to me, you don't need to use your right hand as prominent as your... Like, stop.
Yeah.
I'm out to have golf to have fun. If somebody asks you for advice, give it. I only said it to Jamie just because we were having fun and laughing.
And it led to a belly laugh.
Couldn't have gotten any worse.
Absolutely. But nonetheless, if you're going to an NFL game and you got to sign that waiver, that's probably a bad sign. My only hope is that this is a way they get people in the stadium while still socially distancing, while maybe still wearing a mask, while maybe not selling alcohol. Like, that. These are all things.
Are you not going to open gates for people to park? See, this is the weird thing. It's going to take forever to get into the stadium, which down at Lincoln Financial Field, it already does.
It already takes you 45 minutes.
Now it's going to be even worse because not only are you going through metal detectors, I guess they're going to take your temperature, right?
Yeah.
All that stuff. So you're going to have to go into the game early, which means you're going to have to park early, which means parking lots are going to have to open early, mm-hmm. which means when they open parking lots early, people tailgate. Where does this all carry through? You're in a tailgate. Who is social distancing at a tailgate? Who's not walking up through tailgate saying hi, high five? And like, it's just this. These are the further questions you have. Do you shut down all tailgating? Mm-hmm. Is there a huge police presence that says park? Get out, stay 6 feet away, and go right into the stadium and sit down and don't talk.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know how you police tailgating.
I don't either.
Like, even if you say we're going to open up an hour before game time, good luck anyone getting in there before kickoff.
Yeah.
2 hours before kickoff? All right, then maybe somebody's going to get there 2 hours before kickoff. Guess what? That's an hour for me to tailgate. I'm already there. I can just walk in. You know, it might take an hour to walk in, but still, nonetheless.
I'll go in at halftime.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
If I can't drink in the stadium, I'm going to drink outside the stadium. Like, how do you police that?
I don't know.
You see a table get set up and you tell those people they have to leave?
Further questions. And if somebody does sign a waiver and then, say, gets the coronavirus but wants to go forward against the NFL and say, yeah, I signed a waiver, but what the hell? You know, things weren't in place during the tailgate. Do they have a case? Mm-hmm.
So you would not sign a waiver to go. I sure as hell wouldn't.
No. There's not many places I am signing a waiver to go.
But let me ask you this. We all know season ticket holders. How much do they pay for their personal seat licenses?
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's paying for the right to get the seat. That's not paying for the seat. And people paid that. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
And they're willing to do that to move money around to keep that seat in the new stadiums, right? And that's what happened years ago with the league. And that's what happened at MetLife Stadium in New York or in North Jersey. All that happened, and people paid those. So you're going to ask people to sign a waiver? Yeah, they're going to say, okay, cool. Where's that dotted right there? Thank you. And they're going to go to the game.
Oh, I'm sure we all have friends here that would do it in a heartbeat.
Exactly, which is why it could happen. Why it still might not protect the NFL, probably won't protect the NFL from lawsuits. Somebody can prove that they still got it there. So you look at all these different things. I just hope that even with people being willing to sign that, and they will be, do you still socially distance in the stadium? Is that the guidelines by the NFL?
God, you have to, right? You can't say, well, you signed a waiver, so, you know, go sit next to 25 people within 6 feet of you.
Bottom line is you're telling fans you can come here. And the minute you do that, NFL fans will come in droves. So how do you try to police that? And we saw the letter that went out earlier in the week to season ticket holders saying, hey, hold on to that money for right now. We're still trying to figure all this out. Credit to a lot of the NFL teams that did that. Credit to the Eagles, most notably. We got a tweet from one of our buddies, D-Lo, on Twitter that just said, he keeps in touch with us on Twitter. It's the guy, Dan Orlovsky, threatened to fight. He said he's a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder, and he admitted that to us, first off. And then secondly said they had already asked for the money.
Wow.
The Eagles have not. So that's a good sign, for at least for the Eagles. But the minute an NFL franchise says, here's how we're doing it, fans are going to be like, cool, see you on Sunday. That's how it's going to work. So it's up to the teams, it's up to the stadiums, it's up to the cities to try to figure out how they're going to have socially distancing. If this is and probably will be a problem still going through the rest of the summer, going into the fall, and then obviously into the winter months. It's a huge challenge that's in front of the NFL. I think it's a good step forward because at least it might give some people pause about going to a game. Maybe they'll sell their tickets to somebody else that'll be willing to go. Bottom line is, if someone's asking me to waiver to go somewhere, I'm thinking twice about it.
Yeah. How many people do you think they're thinking of allowing into games?
I would say they're probably willing to do, I would say a little bit less than 50% capacity.
Okay, so the link holds it's 69,000 on a game day.
Yeah.
So you're talking 35,000. Mm-hmm. So
it's going to
look
that.
It would look like a really crowded temple game.
Yeah.
No offense. Football just doesn't draw that well. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I had the same thought. I just didn't say it out loud.
Yeah. It's tough. I don't know, and I'm sure these are all the things that they're going through, and I think it's one of the reasons why they want every team in this preseason that they now cut to two games to host one preseason game so they can try to figure it out on the fly.
Look, I would you be surprised if they canceled the preseason in general?
Yes, I would. Yeah, I know you said that, and I hear you, and I wouldn't mind it for the safety and all. But I think I would because, like I said before, I really think they need that dress rehearsal.
Yeah, if we're in a state, though, where they're canceling all of the preseason, I also don't think that they're allowing fans in the early goings of the games. I think they're going to make that TV money, and then hopefully later in the year they can allow fans in the stadium, which might even lend itself more so to the idea of not having fans at all, because I don't see this thing getting better through fall and through winter.
Well, if you don't have fans at all, what's the harm of having two preseason games? Because the players palm players?
Yeah, maybe the players still are concerned about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think dress rehearsal, I think you have to do it just to see what happens. Is there some sort of an outbreak? Is it the right move to go? I don't know. It'll be interesting. But I expect them to have each team have a home preseason game. So that would be two.
Look, Fauci was talking about it the other day about hopefully having a vaccine by the end of the year, maybe early next year. So maybe things are expedited even more so. Let's cross our fingers for that, because that means as a society, as I've been saying this whole time, we're in a better spot to handle this throughout, not just in sports. So hopefully that's the case right there. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, and 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by none other than The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. I do want to take a second. We talked a lot of Sixers today. We are actually holding, and you probably heard the promos running for this already, a 7-6 day on 7-6. How's that? Does that make sense, Bob? Does it make a little bit of sense for you?
I understand it.
It's fairly self-explanatory here. So what we're doing on 7-6, which is actually going to be Monday, unfortunately, Jamie will not be with us, unfortunately, on Monday, taking a little bit of an extended vacay on the trip here.
Yeah.
We will all be in tomorrow,
though. We'll be in the Hamptons.
yeah, right.
We are actually going to be holding a 7-6 day to have some fun with people, some 76ers fans. This coming Monday on 7-6, 97.5 The Fanatic is helping the Sixers celebrate their day on the calendar. NBA insiders, special guests from the 76ers will join us throughout the day, and you can also win some awesome 76ers autograph prizes every hour starting at 7 o'clock. And as you might assume, it goes from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. again with the 7-6.
Oh, I see what we're doing there.
Very clever. Very clever. We will also have a Fanatic tent and crew in our West Lobby parking lot handing out 76ers t-shirts to people who simply drive by and ask for one. So you can just drive on by with your mask, drive on by, boom, you get a 76ers t-shirt right there. And also 7-6 Day on the Fanatic is powered by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the number one casino in Pennsylvania, is back. back, and it's open with plenty of space for social distancing. Must be 21. A gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we got that going on. Tomorrow we'll also announce our Tool of the Week, brought to you by Hollis True Value and Garden Center, as well as our Big Sexy Report, brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. So we're pretty busy, as they say.
Yeah, that'll be fun on Monday. A lot of basketball.
We got a lot of basketball things to kick around, and we also hopefully we can inspire some optimism, because I know I haven't been very optimistic today. I'm optimistic about Ben Simmons. I look at Ben Simmons and I go, all right, well, he'll be healthy. And like you've been saying, Bob, and I agree with you. I've agreed with you this entire time. He will be your best player when everything starts out. I'm hoping Joel Embiid ramps up to the point where he then becomes your best player.
That would be the best thing for the Sixers.
That's where we all feel better. And you know, speaking of feeling better, there's one person that makes us feel better every single time we see him post on social media. The only thing is, we don't know who we're getting. We don't know if we're getting Andrew McCutchen or if we're getting Larry McCutchen. That's what confuses us. And joining us right now on the line, on the Comcast business hotline, Beyond Fast, I think it's Larry McCutchen. Is this Larry?
You know what? You guessed it right.
Larry, hello. How you been?
And Larry's just, I'm talking to you guys on my son, on my nephew's behalf. He's starting to slowly become my son because I son him in everything that I do, you know.
Larry, I can't thank you enough for sharing your nephew/son with us. Andrew, we're big fans of him. We were heartbroken when everything went down the way it did last year. But we're just excited to have you both back in town.
Oh, it's great. I'm happy that I'm back. I don't know how everybody feels about Dutch, but Larry is here.
Okay.
And I know, I feel like everybody's more excited about him being here. So I've been talking to him lately, and I'm probably going to play on his behalf. He's going to sit out the rest of the year because, everything COVID-19 going around. He's a little scaredy cat.
Oh, gee, Larry, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate this. Let me ask you this. So Kutch gets that baseball card released, and it's probably the coolest, most badass baseball card release. Is that Kutch or is that Larry?
See, I've been talking to him about that. I deserve my paycheck for that because that's me. He was trying to be me, and I tried to tell him that if he can be me, man, how much more money he make off the field, even though he was on the field injured. And he tried to, he wanted to be Uncle Larry that day. And we've had a little jokey joke going around. And he said, if I dress like you, Unc, ain't nobody going to even, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh at me. And I said, okay, we'll see about it. And he dressed like me. And look what we got. I got my own baseball card.
He owes you money. That's identity infringement. He owes you money, Unc.
Yeah, I'm going to take him to court. I'm telling you. I'm going to study my laws.
This is just too great. This is too great. Uncle Larry, I guess. When did you first really started poking your head around? When did you start coming around the diamond?
Well, I've always been around the diamond my entire life. Ever since I could, I learned my ABCs and at age 15. I've been around the dot. So I've been here, I've been there, but as soon as this quarantine hit, my nephew, like I said, he's a little scared of cats, so he had to call on Superman, Unc, and I came over and, I kind of popped my face out a little bit. I intentionally do that, but, the cameras was around and he's all on the socials, like the Twitter and the Instabook, whatever they call it. Mm. So that's how my head popped in.
you right now, your nephew, Kutch, Andrew McCutchen, Larry, he's got a more seasoned manager with Joe Girardi. What has he said about Joe Girardi? Anything encouraging?
Well, I was telling him about Joe Girardi because I told him that the one time I played with Joe, I tried to let Joe know the one time I played with him, I was explaining it to him, but I guess I was being a little too vague about it. But I told him, hey, man, Joe, you remember that time when I played with you when we were like 11 and 12 down there in somewhere around the Southern States? And he just didn't say much, but I remember it, because he was catching, and I was hitting, and I hit a ball. So I remember it. But, you know, it, but yeah, you know, Cutch is very, very excited about him. Very excited about him being and managing a big load of respect for him. And, you know, he's going to be great for the team, for the 60 games that the guys are going
to
play.
Now, Uncle Larry, do you also go around trying to coach up other players on the Phillies a little bit here? But you seem like a very wise man. You've been around a long time. Do you try to impart that wisdom or instill that wisdom on other players?
Man, let me tell you, I have to turn people away because of the people who want to know, you know, just everything about the game. You know, everybody wants to call me, and you know, I had to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. You know, I just learned how to do that. So, you know, it's just everybody wants to talk to Uncle Larry, and you know, I give them a little bit of insight. But you know, I started charging because these guys are rich.
You strike me as a guy that still has a flip phone.
Well, you know, I definitely got, you know, the sidekick, the T-Mobile sidekick. That was my sidekick, you know, for a very long time. So I have that. You know what? I think they're going to come back out with it.
No, that's amazing.
Man, you know, I'm going to get it.
you know, Uncle Larry, it's great talking to you. Is your nephew there? Is he around? I know that he was still putting furniture in his new house, but is he available by chance?
Yeah, I can, Let me get home. Let me open this door right here. I think he's outside. Yeah, I guess he calls himself doing some side shuffles and sprints in his little short shorts. hey, Cutch, I got some people on the phone for you. Yeah, you're the B Squad. Come on in.
Oh my God! Is this Andrew McCutcheon?
Yeah, I came in, Unc is crazy. I hope you didn't.
He's crazy, man. No, he was saying all kinds of crazy stuff, man. It was wild.
Yeah, that's him. He's going to speak his mind.
he's that uncle in the family, right? He's that guy?
He is that guy. When they say, who is that guy? It's him. And, you know, they always say that there's that one guy. He's that guy.
He's still hanging around from that Christmas dinner you had like 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, I can't kick him out because you know he was afraid of the virus and he needed somewhere to stay. So I told him he could stay with me. So he hasn't left since. So can't seem to get rid of him.
Andrew McCutcheon, let me just say this right out of the gate: we are blessed to have you. Thank God, man. Seriously, your uncle seems pretty cool too, but you're the man, and we appreciate you joining us. And even your uncle to set it up—that's very nice. But let's ask you the question, and we know how your uncle Larry feels about it. How do you feel about it? Where are you at right now in your own mindset with coronavirus?
You know, I'm in a place where I understand just by looking at just the nation in itself that, you know, we can't seem to shake this virus because, you know, we just can't seem to, self-isolate and quarantine when needed and wear face masks and face coverings. And so this, virus is still pretty prevalent. And as we can see, cases continue to keep rising. So I'm in a place to where I am still in a quarantine mode. You know, it's still weird for me to go out, even if I got to go to the grocery store really fast or do certain things. I'm still a little weirded out by it. You know, with baseball happening and we have all these health protocols and the things that we have to do, it's going to be very different. It's going to be really hard to feel like baseball. But for me, I mean, I haven't played since June 4th last year. And, all that stuff's out the window. I'm just ready. I just want to play. I just want to play some baseball.
When you say all that stuff's out the window, other than COVID-19, obviously, and all that stuff, health-wise, you feel 100%?
Oh, yeah, by far. I mean, you know, that's the silver lining with all this is I was able to really rehab and not just, like, rehab to get through it, but I was able to, like, focus on small things and take my time with it. So, that was a big plus for me to be able to just get the work in, put the work in, and you know, really think the rehab process through. And you know, I feel really good now, and I'm ready to go.
So day one, we can expect you in left field.
You got dog on right.
Yeah, because your uncle was a little cocky about that, but I wanted to get it right from you.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be there. He's trying to play and make a comeback, but I mean the guy hasn't played since he was in Pony League, so I don't really.
He's no threat to you. Andrew, I'm just curious. We've talked to many people throughout all the leagues about this startup, and you guys are right upon it. How much interaction did Major League Baseball have with its players, have with you, about coming back and maybe asking your opinions of it or asking you how you guys all felt about it? What was that like?
There really wasn't much conversation between us and the league with everything that we had coming on. There was just because of the fact of, you know, due to the CBA and, you know, there's certain things that you can't talk about between players and owners when it comes to the virus or the protocol. So there really wasn't much conversation because, no one wanted to overstep their boundaries with that. Everything was pretty much in-house between, you know, training staff or players. Or the union. It was more of those conversations that we had, and that basically was it.
Right.
The commissioner of baseball came out yesterday and said the whole time we were going to play 60 games. That's what we were going to do. It seems like some arrogance on that side of the negotiating table. And I know that things got contentious talking to some other major league players. What does it feel like when you, as a player, what do you think when you hear the commissioner say, "Oh, we were playing 60 games regardless"?
Well, we should have just said that we're playing 60 games from the beginning, so we wouldn't have to go through this whole debacle that we went through and essentially put a dent in the game of baseball, and not just a small dent, a huge dent in the game, to where the game essentially right now isn't in a great place, just because, you know, everything became, you know, so public. And, you know, if that was the fact of the case that we weren't going to play more than 60 from the beginning, I think that should have been voiced, and we shouldn't have been negotiating on top of trying to figure out, you know, the games that we wanted to play or in the back and forth. I just felt like all of that could have been avoided had we just come to that conclusion very early. And that been voiced to us that was going to happen. I mean, that's just the way, that's my opinion. But I think that would have definitely helped us out. Generalization of the game out.
And it certainly would have helped fans such as myself. And Andrew, I'm a baseball first guy. I love the sport. It's the sport I grew up watching more than anything. But this is something that has left such a bad taste in my mouth and other fans. What do you want to say to fans that we're watching that whole negotiating, just saying, come on, guys, let's get back to playing? What if, not just for players, but for the game in general, what do you have to say to them?
Well, first off, I mean, I want to apologize on that end, because that's not something that needs to be, in the middle of this game. The game is such a beautiful game, and we understand that every 5 years there's a collective bargaining agreement, just like any sport that's out there. But, you know, when all these things became public, when things went from health to games played to money to, you know, all these things started to happen and come out, it just put the game in a very, very bad state. So, I just first and foremost want to apologize, but also realize that negotiations is a part, and it's a process. It is something that we do. It's not always pretty, but, you know, this is something that we have to do. I mean, I have a negotiation with my 2-year-old toddler son on if he's going to, you know, how many pieces of candy he's going to get. The kid's 2 years old. Like, he went to the bathroom the other day, and I went, "All right, kid, good job. You know, here's a gummy worm." He goes, "I want 3 gummy worms." I'm like, "You took number one, you're going to get one." You know, he's like, "No, I want 3. I was like, "All right, well, if you potty on the toilet, I'll give you 3. You know, he's like, "No, there, I want 5. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm having a negotiation with my son. We're having a collective bargaining agreement right there about the toilet. So, guys, negotiations happen, and it's a part of it. Like,
right.
You know, so it's life, and I hate that it became so public, and it was definitely tough. But I'm happy that we're in a place now to where we have a schedule, and you know we'll be playing here.
And now that you are going to be playing, Andrew, aside from rule changes and what COVID brings to all of this, just in the schematics of a 9-inning game, how do you see things being different? You know, how managers have to handle playing 60 games in 66 days?
Yeah, I mean, you're really having to manage the game in a sense that we understand that every game's important. Every game counts. We know, even if we played 162 regular season game, we understand that every game, it matters. But it's so funny. The less games that you play, it seems like the games matter more. There's more pitching changes. There's more, there's just more things that happen inning by inning and pitch by pitch. And I think that's something that's going to happen more so within these 60 games. So it's going to be different in a way where I think there's going to be pitching changes. There's there's going to be guys coming in and out of games and pinch runners, and I just think there's going to be more of that. It's going to be more chess moves in the game, I think it'll be different in that way, and a whole lot of other ways too. Like I said, going over the safety protocols, health protocols, it's going to be different. Everyone maintaining their distance, people, staff sitting in the stands, and we have to be 6 feet apart. No high five, and it's just crazy. So it's just going to be a crazy 60 games for us. But it's going to be quite the story that I'll be able to tell my kids and one day my grandkids.
Yeah, when you're done negotiating with your 2-year-old, you can tell them the story of this season. Andrew, last thing for I know you got to run. Just your expectations for the 60 game season for your Philadelphia Phillies.
I expect us to get going. To have a really good season. We got a great lineup. We got a great lineup of guys, and when I was in spring training watching guys and watching the team and watching these games unfold and seeing those lineups, I was like, man, this is something special. We got something special here. I'm looking forward to us just being able to show up every single day. Our bats are going to make a lot of noise. I think the lineup's built for that, to have a really great offense, and some good defense. The pitching just has to show up. I think, and the hardest thing, the most difficult thing for all of us and everybody in the game of baseball is going to be staying healthy. So I think if we can stay healthy and go out, play the game and play the game how we know we can play it, I mean, you're looking at a really good 60 game season.
Andrew McCutchen, an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks for at least making a smile in the midst of everything going on in our world right now, whether in sports or in the COVID world that it is. Andrew, and thank your uncle, Larry, for us. He was great as well.
You're welcome.
Andrew McCutchen and Uncle Larry. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right. No problem.
Take it easy. Andrew McCutchen and Uncle Larry, evidently.
Yeah. If the MLB Players Union was intelligent, they would make him a face of the Players Association.
He's the only one that should ever speak.
Yes.
Either because he can do it as two people, so it's really two for the price of one.
He just apologized.
I was stunned by that. Yeah. He apologized on behalf of his league.
Yeah.
I'm still in shock. That's amazing. That's pretty awesome.
He gets it.
And, hey, Andrew, Pat Egan, good hustle. You booked Andrew for us and Larry. So two for nothing.
I only booked Larry.
You only booked Larry.
Andrew just showed up.
Oh, my God. It's so rude. So rude. Now, really appreciate that. Yeah, good hustle to Pat Egan right there. When we come back, we'll dissect that a little bit further here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I want to apologize on that end. That's not something that needs to be in the middle of this game. The game is so beautiful, and every 5 years we go through a CBA, or we go through collective bargaining. All these things happen. So he acknowledges, there's a business part of it, but to still apologize for it is an amazing thing. Like, first off, okay, the X's and O's. Andrew McCutchen's ready to play day one, as you might expect, right? But we can expect it from Ben Simmons until we hear somebody acknowledge it.
Right.
We might have questions. Andrew McCutchen's ready to play. He'll be in left field for the Phillies opening day of the 60-game season. That's great. The other thing that's great is at least he kind of, not kind of, the man 100% gets it. Like, first off, to have the fun with Uncle Larry is fun, and we all know the origin of it, you know, but the typo. But he says that character's been around with him forever. Like, that's what he's been saying. And he specifically wanted to come on with us to promote that character.
Yeah.
And that's why we were playing with it. I think we all looked at each other at one point and we're like, we're going to get to talk like real baseball at some point, right? Like, but he, and flawless. Like, he's a character actor on Saturday Night Live. He just made the transition. And all I had to say, hey, is Andrew there? Oh, yeah. And for him to have the presence of mind to do mic work, what I like to call mic work, where, you know, you're here and you don't want to yell into the microphone, so you pull it back here! That kind of thing, where you can still yell, people get it, whatever. To do that with Uncle Larry.
He's got a future. Outside of baseball.
I do like the idea of an uncle in his own family referring to him as Kutch.
Well, when he was on the line, his agent, you know, like, patched him through. He's like, hold on, Andrew's on the other line, I'm going to patch him in. And I was like, all right. And I couldn't hear him at first, and I was like, hey, Andrew, you there? You there? And I finally heard him, and he goes, yo, it's Kutch. So he calls himself Kutch, which I didn't know, which is cool. And I was like, and I felt weird calling him Kutch back, so I just stuck with Andrew.
Yeah, that might feel like you're a, like, hockey.
In the club, yeah.
Yeah, hockey's weird because their nicknames are so easy.
Yeah,
on the end of everything. But, like, I can't call him Kutch.
No. That's a violation
I can't.
I
can't do that.
Until you either get to know or... Right. As we talked about the other day, if they pull you aside and say, hey, call me Kutch, then you're okay. Like your mother-in-law said, hey, call me Mary eventually.
Eventually.
Just like don't call me late to go to the potty.
But 7 years into it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you can take that upon yourself to go nickname.
Yeah.
I don't. I've never done that.
I concur. But I also just like the idea of his own uncle, quote unquote, calling him Kutch. I mean, like my dad's brother calling me Farzi. Like,
but do you have any family members that you don't call by their first name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like glass, okay.
No, what I've noticed that's funny about my dad's side of the family is that nicknames are just another name. Like, a guy's name is Joe, and we call him Nick. Like, so it's like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, my Uncle Sonny, his real name was Lou, but we called him Sonny. Like, it was...
Was there an origin, or...
Nope.
Really?
As far as I know, I think one of their older relatives he just was such a happy personality as a kid.
Yeah, I had an Aunt Dolly who was a nun, okay. My dad's sister, and she died when I was in high school, maybe a little later, whatever, and they put the thing out, and I said, I thought her first name was Dolores, like Dolly, Dolores,
right.
My dad said, oh no, her name was Rose. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, we called her Dolly because she was so pretty, she looked like a doll.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's so nice.
I didn't know her nun name until I was in like eighth grade.
Yeah, but McCutcheon is a last name and Kutch is the nickname. It's pretty clutch.
Yeah,
it's,
that is.
In itself. Unintentional. That just rolled off the tongue. Missing.
Yeah.
But he just... Baseball's in a fragile state right now, especially because, as I've said throughout this entire time, you got the NHL going on, you got the NBA going on, right around the corner will be the NFL. They can cancel as many preseason games as they want. It's still right there. The MLB had such a great opportunity to grab that audience, that captive audience, and then to not only fail to negotiate anything more to 60 games, but almost stick your chest out as the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and say, oh, we were never going to play 60, or we were never going to play more than 60. Like, do you get that rubs our noses in it as baseball fans?
Well, God, we just talked to one of the most level-headed people, it seems, in the league. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, what the hell did we negotiate for? You could hear the anger in Andrew McCutcheon's voice just now. And he was like, seriously? Well, then why the hell didn't you do that 3 months ago?
And he was one of the baseball players throughout this entire time that when a proposal would come out for Major League Baseball from the owners, he would retweet it with the LOL. Or he would just tweet, LOL.
Yeah.
Like, this is adorable. Or he made the video when he was negotiating with his 2-year-old on the potty to say, oh, well, do you want some juice or do you want some water? And the kid was like, juice. And he'd hand him water. And the kid's like, I wanted water. He's like, but you might get juice. It was going back and forth like that. That was trying to sum up the negotiations between both parties, the Players Association and the league itself. And yeah, he kind of knows how to wrap his head around it rather well. And he was careful in one regard. First off, acknowledging, just saying he's sorry. Like, I apologize that was in the middle of
blew
it.
Blew my mind.
It blew my mind because he also acknowledged the second part of it, which was, hey, look, it's still business.
Yeah.
But usually...
He just wished it stayed behind closed doors.
Right. But usually that's the part that does stay behind closed doors, and that's the part that players won't acknowledge. That's the only part that players will acknowledge, the fact that it is a business.
Mm-hmm.
They might not like it being, you know, out there in the open for everyone to dissect and criticize and all that, but they'll at least come out and say, well, you know, usually, you see, here's the thing. This is why you always ask the question. Even though you could file it under the answer under, well, what's he going to say? You always have to ask the question. So asking him about that, what do you have to say to fans? Oh, well, what's he going to say? Oh, it's a business. Well, yeah, he said that. But he also apologized.
Yeah.
He understands from the fans' perspective how bad that looks for the game of baseball. And there's a lot of people like myself that won't, throughout the 60 games, they won't be able to recapture some of that because of what we did witness in the offseason and how ugly it got. And the opportunity wasted. He acknowledges that. He apologizes for it. But at the same time, he's still got to identify with his colleagues. He's still got to identify with his teammates saying, hey, look, we weren't just fighting over a pandemic here. We were fighting over what's going to happen a year and a half from now when the other CBA is up and we're in the midst of another collective bargaining agreement and we have to figure out how we're going to get back on the field to play in a more normal world, we hope. But just to acknowledge the struggle that fans have in getting back to the game and acknowledging even beforehand the fragile state the game was in, I give the guy full marks. I'm excited he's healthy. I'm glad I'm going to get to see him play in 60 games. And if they are healthy throughout the season, he thinks they can go places.
Yeah. I was surprised. I wanted to know how much interaction, whoever. Now, I know the owners couldn't get in touch with the players and all that. But, you know, ultimately you're putting the players out there, right, when we were talking about the COVID-19 stuff. So I was wondering, like, I wonder how much these players are getting asked. Like, are you cool with it? Anybody have any ideas? And he said that, like, no, we didn't talk to anybody. We're told where to be. We have to trust what to do. You know, I'm sure their team rep has had conversations or whatever, but from what Andrew was saying, there really wasn't a lot of conversation among the players or to the players about, hey, how do you guys feel about this?
Mm-hmm.
They put out a mandate, 60 games. They're putting out a plan. Here's what we're going to do without checking with the players, it seems like. That surprised me a little bit. I thought for sure there would be stuff going out to them. Hey, fill out this questionnaire. Or, hey, do you have ideas? Like.
Right.
I was surprised at that.
It seems like a lot of the players pushed it aside, as you were saying.
Yeah.
And said, all right, that's great. Let's talk about money. We feel like we'll be okay. All right, let's talk about the finances of this. Let's talk about how many games we're going to play. Let's talk about how we feel safe enough to play 114 games. And that's something that can't just be pushed aside. The players were suggesting playing more, meaning more exposure. Sure, more money with prorated salaries. But at the same time, they were still willing to take that risk of playing in like double the amount of games that they were actually proposing.
Yeah.
So that lets you know that they felt safe about
full,
going to play.
Yeah, they were full. And that's weird. Money's over. It left me with the impression, wow, money really overrode health.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little surprising to me. Mm-hmm. I thought that they'd want to have a little more input as to how they felt.
Yeah.
But money overrode it.
All right. Were people in the car doing the same thing that we were doing or watching on Twitch, like wondering if he was going to ever talk as Andrew?
I got a text during the interview, as I told you, saying like, all right, who is this?
I think people were...
Most people, yeah, they understood.
Yeah, but I also, some people might have thought we were just putting them on. Like,
yeah.
Putting them on, like, hey, we have some guy pretending to be Larry, Uncle Larry. But no, it was the real guy.
Yeah.
The whole time, and he played it perfectly. And I was just a little worried. I was like, wait, are we going to get to talk to Andrew at some point? Okay, good. Just making sure. And then he was great. Again, the best thing, from a PR standpoint, the apology, all that's great. But I'm glad the man's healthy. I'm glad he's going to be able to play. Because as we said earlier, everything went to hell last year when he got hurt. And the way he got hurt was crazy. I mean, I even wish we had more time with him because there's so much more I wanted to get into. More with just Joe Girardi and the new manager and the changeover and getting back and going through rehab and the struggle that can be and getting back in the left field. No fans at stadiums and all that stuff. It's going to be insane. But the guy seems to certainly know how to connect with fans. I'll say that much.
Yeah, he does.
And not many players get it. There are few players that actually get it. Like, that understand there shouldn't be a wall between the field and the fans. Like, there shouldn't be a metaphorical wall, like, where I can't identify with you because I'm some million-dollar athlete. And he seems to be a regular dude that just wants to have fun.
Yeah. I remember a line I had one time. I was in the locker room, and one of the Sixers players I went to talk to and gave me the kind of, like, oh, God, media again. And I literally said, yeah, but one day you're going to be one of us.
Yeah.
And he, I'll never forget this. And he looked up and kind of laughed. And I said, no, I'm not like busting stones or anything, but like this is all going to end someday for you. And then like, look, you might want to become somebody on ESPN or something like that. I said, I literally went like this, just saying, and just walked away. Not to be a jerk, but just to prove a point. Like, okay, I have a job, you have a job. Why can't we all just do our jobs? And I think McCutcheon gets, and there are a bunch of athletes that do get it. There are, Elton Brand was the best player ever to deal with in the history of sports. Mm. And there are a lot of them out there. But yeah, you wish there all of them were like that, right?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I mean, Elton Brand is actually the guy that has one of my all-time favorite sports quotes in the history of Philadelphia sports. Which was when he got asked about Santa Claus booing, you know, getting booed. He said, well, he showed up in front of 50,000 fans, didn't bring no presents. And I'm like, that point for Elton Brand. Point for Elton Brand on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there are the guys that just never get it. And then there's the guys that just got it from get-go. And that's Andrew McCutcheon to a T. So can't thank him enough. And again, Pat Egan for booking him to come on. I feel better now.
That's 2 days in a row we've had guests that have made you feel better.
It really is. Adam Kaplan saying, you know what? Don't worry about that Zach Ertz thing. He's not looking for George Kittle money. He's looking for something close to it, but not it. He knows he's not going to make that money, but he just knows he just wants to know where the benchmark's at. So that made me feel better that it wasn't him saying, oh, well, I'm going to wait for George Kittle to get paid. Then I'm going to get paid that. Even more, because that, I think, would be bad business. And also bad football because I want him to stick around. The Eagles wouldn't do that. So I feel better about that. And then as a guy who does take it personal in baseball, and I do take it personal in baseball because like that's the sport I'd always talk about and I still always talk about with my dad. For him to just go out of the way and say that, that's my message to fans, not, you know, deal with it. It's a business. Like, hey, man, sorry. Like, I love that. That makes me all the more excited to watch that guy play baseball.
Maybe tomorrow we'll have a guest on that'll make you feel good too somehow.
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe we will.
We'll try.
Maybe it's something. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hopefully talking to that guest.
Yes.
A guest that we might announce even more earlier than this one.
No, we're good. We're a go. It's confirmed in two different areas. After much.
That makes me nervous, actually.
No. I even had a conversation last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Good enough for me, then. Now, we might go in the direction of basketball yesterday or for tomorrow, but one of the things that I'd like to do is kind of get back to the Sixers real quick because this is what did not leave me feeling great. And this was after listening to Brett Brown yesterday. This was Brett Brown on Joel Embiid. And we made this our Twitter poll today, and it has not gone as well as I hoped it would. It's gone more so the direction I thought it would. And that's unfortunate. Here's Brett Brown on Joel Embiid yesterday during his conference Zoom press conference.
I mean, let's just start with the respect and applause I give him for putting in time. There is nobody on our team that has put in more time than Joel Embiid. And forget, you know, what he's actually done in the gym just for a minute. Just go to man hours and consecutive days and the amount of days that he has put in over the past few months. I'm proud of him. I respect him. He needed to do it. You know, we understand the impact that he can have on our team. And I think that once Joel has that fitness base that I'm talking about, and, you know, we get a 3-week runway to deliver him to the regular season, I'm looking for Joel to come in as good a shape as he has been in since I have coached him.
I want to see it. I'm at a point now with the Sixers where, yeah, sure, we're going to be relaying to you things they say in case you didn't hear them. We don't want to just read the quote. We want you to hear the way they were presented, those words were presented.
I didn't catch something the first time I heard that quote, though.
What's that?
The birds chirping?
Yeah, he was sitting out in his yard. Yeah, it added to the positiveness.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. He's talking Joel Embiid's health and in shape, and the birds are chirping.
And
Sixers are winning it all.
The sun was shining, and the birds were chirping.
See, what you don't know, I know Morse code, and the birds were saying, this guy's full of it. Joel's fat as ever. No. But I want to listen to that, and I want to go, all right, good. I'm glad to hear that he's in shape. But I'm at like such a point now with the Sixers where I'm done with any talk of potential. And it's weird saying that because it's still, you got guys that are young in age, but they've been around a long time. Even in years where they weren't playing,
sure,
they were professionals.
This is Joel Embiid's, I believe, sixth year with the team.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's a lot. And you're right. put up or shut up time is nothing that I can fault you on.
And I don't say that, I'm not saying this to have the expectation that the Sixers are going to make the NBA Finals or even win the NBA Finals or anything like that. I'm saying this with the expectation of, we've seen a lot of the same mistakes over and over again since their professional careers have started. Like, Ben still doesn't have a jump shot. Joel still turns the ball over more than three times per game. Like, that's a lot. I don't need to see that. I need to see that continuously cut down, especially in playoff setting, when it matters most. That's what I need to see from a guy like Joel Embiid. That's what I would need to see from Ben Simmons. Because if those guys are the crown jewels of the process, which they are, this team's only going to go as far as they're going to take them. And that's what I'm waiting eagerly to see, those guys take that major step forward. Not about, oh my God, is Joel Embiid going to be in shape when everything starts out? Oh, is Ben going to have this new dimension to his game? Like, and I made this argument so many times. I love watching Ben Simmons play basketball.
Sure.
I'm a huge Ben Simmons fan. But seeing how close he is to an MVP candidate and only seeing that be a jump shot away, which is just the weirdest thing to say about a basketball player, that's what he is. I want to see him get to that MVP conversation because he's that great at everything else. Everything else he's so great at made him an all-star. Without shooting, he's an all-star. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Let's get a final on our Twitter poll here, brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Through this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, through the 4th of July, no payments for two full years from Window Nation. Also up to 50% off any style window following LCDC guidelines. Pat Egan, what did the good people tell us on our Twitter poll?
Well, Pat Egan's phone is currently frozen while he's editing a video for our...
Yeah, I can't X out of it. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I let you down.
So I have to give you the results. Is that okay, Mark?
That's fine. That's fine, Joe.
so far, we have almost 1,500 votes. 65% of the voting audience has gone one way. Do you know what way that is?
I'm going to say nope.
Yep, you would be correct. 65% say nope. Joel Embiid will not be in shape. 35% say yes.
See, okay, then here you go. It's not like 70 or 80% that like wasn't believing he'd be in shape. It's people, they've been sold a little bit on Brett. They've been sold. So I guess that's that's some optimism there, Bob. That's
yeah.
Some optimism to end the show. Pat Egan, what is your takeaway of the day?
That Philadelphia is truly lucky to have Andrew McCutchen in this town because he is an absolute gem.
Got that right.
And his uncle.
Who calls him Kutch, which I still love.
Kutch!
Jamie Lynch?
My takeaway of the day, nothing against Tony Clark and the job he's done, but if Andrew McCutchen wants a certain job in life after his playing days are over, I don't think there's a better person for that job than Andrew McCutchen, and that would be the president of the MLB Players Association. Honestly.
Do it. While active.
I don't know who could convey their message in a better way.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Bob Cooney.
Guy Fieri, worth $20 million.
I would have guessed a little more, actually.
Yeah, I thought a little more.
Never would have happened if he stuck with Ferry.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but if you're going to refer to him, he deserves the stink on his name.
No, absolutely.
Fieri.
The little stink.
There you go, little stink.
It's stolen valor.
Yeah.
My takeaway of the day is that in all my years in radio, I don't think I've ever talked more about something off topic more than we talked about Guy Fieri. So there you go.
Well deserved.
That, and I really love Andrew McCutchen. And maybe he's the one player that will make me very excited this baseball season.
I think
season.
I got my swagger back. Goodness gracious.
Is that Jason Martinez that's all roaming around?
Yes, he is in for Anthony today.
Jason Martinez is in for Anthony Gargano today.
He's got the entire Flyers lineup coming up.
TK at 10:10. Claude Giroux at 10:40. Oh,
don't tease.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Bobby Clark at 10:23.
Carter Hart at 11:20.
Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano show today with Jason Martinez. Pat Egan, once again, good hustle to you. Thanks for booking both Uncle Larry and Andrew McCutchen. Good hustle. And our thank you to Mama Bonacquesti.
Oh, yes. Mama Bonacquesti.
I've eaten too many chicken and biscuits.
Way to
today.
Go, Deb Bonacquesti.
She's the real MVP today.
Yes, she is. MVP. No question.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow with hopefully a special NBA guest. Time at the Fanatic is 9:53.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.